God, man's sake.
What do you think of that?
I think that's totally gay.
Type in monkey dick in the Yahoo podcast search, we come up number one. That's right.
Here's what I'm going to say in retort, in rebuttal.
Yeah, your ass called and he says, stop sticking cocks in it.
Sword. Sword fight.
Sword.
Yeah, I had like a fluid-filled pus ball.
Am I keeping you up? Sorry.
No, I was...
Shut up.
Well, and I couldn't agree with more with Dr.
Tooth Fairy John, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny.
You even pay attention to your own
crap. Listen to my own crap.
No, listen.
I do listen.
You're not. You just yap, and you don't even listen to it.
I do.
I listen.
So if you're ever looking for our podcast, type in Monkey Dick. You're listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 52, part two of
part
a three-part
two,
episode.
John. Part two, yes.
And we were talking about, what were we talking about?
It doesn't matter because I'm overwhelmed with the stench that
what
is John.
Stench? What are you talking about?
Not only did it follow you into that room, it wafted all over this room.
You know, you're full of shit.
I am not. You're the full of shit one.
Not anymore.
Wow.
Did it get in your
That'll
mouth?
That'll clear your sinuses, won't it?
What are you talking about? It smells good. It's like food.
Yeah, it's fragrant.
Fragrant fowl. Anyway, it's kind of a mind wiper, isn't it?
It is. It erases your mind. It's like that thing in Men in Black.
Okay, man, what are you doing? Chill out, AJ. It's all right. I'm K, you're J. You're actually S, I'm J. So, we were reading comments. And Scott pointed me to a comment. Should I read it?
On the Pod Riot.
On Pod Riot, yeah. This says, a great mix of audio podcasts. Punky, kinky sex, and those fags, John and Scott. But it doesn't end there. Check out the Eclectic Video Podcast, also available. But it doesn't end there. Mike D likes you. Goopa Goopa. Submitted by Thule or Thulai.
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 Well, yeah, and that's the thing, John.
I think it's a buddy of, or it is, Mike D.
That's the thing that kind of got me depressed, John, is Mike D put a comment and vote in for the Pod Riot and for Punky, but he does not like Kinky Sex and Total Talk
How
Nonsense.
Do you know he doesn't like it?
Because he didn't leave a comment that says, RedBarRadio.com likes you. I'm Mike D.
Oh, lighten up, Mike D. We're just fucking with you, man. God.
Oh. All right, John. You said you had a couple of phone calls there that we got on our line. The 847 TTN Jizz line.
Jizzed. 847 TTN GIZD. 847-886-4493.
Sweet.
Check it out. Mike D, give us a call on our Skype line. No, we are not a radio show. We don't plan to be one. We're just some whack job podcasters. We're actually a band.
Actually, we are, John.
And our whole thing started out as it's a fluke. We were just going to record and stream live our practices because they are pretty funny sometimes.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop right now.
Okay. Why?
Because we're going to talk about that later. And,
oh, okay.
You'll find out when I get to emails.
All right. We got some calls, though. We got some phone messages. You want to hear them?
I'd love to hear them.
Here's the first one. I don't know who it is. Ready?
Ready.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to tell you guys that your show... TTN Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. When I listen to your show, It's like when an 18-year-old Catholic schoolgirl cups my balls.
It sounds really familiar, that voice.
It's hard to make out, but I think he said an 18-year-old Catholic schoolgirl cups your balls.
Cups his balls.
His balls. It's equivalent to listening to TTN.
Well,
there's an endorsement right there, Jod.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
This one is this is a caller calling in who's worried about one of the members of the one of the co-hosts of the show.
Okay.
Hey, John. This is Jason. A little concerned. I was listening to the police scanner, and I heard them say they had found a dead body with man boobs and really bad teeth. I was just calling to make sure you're all right. Okay. Give me a call. Bye.
Did you call him back?
No.
Oh, so he might think that that's you.
Well, it's true. He's probably really worried. Maybe he identified the body, but it's not me, Jason. And I think Jason's one of our listeners who has a interesting avatar. If anybody's interested, to check out our forum, just to look up Jason's avatar.
Yes. I'm familiar with Jason's avatar.
I'm not sure if it's a picture of him or not, but
shocking, John. It's shocking.
Yeah. It's got to be the biggest, deepest asshole I've ever seen.
Well, we also got some emails here.
Emails.
And I pulled a couple of them out to bring into the show tonight, John. One of them is from Ads12. I think he commented earlier.
Ah.
And he says, hello, fellow podcasters.
Hello.
After listening to a lot of podcasts and vidcasts, I'm thinking of starting my own. So we've inspired people, John.
No.
We're inspirations.
Excellent.
I have a few ideas and wanted to do some in-depth research to get a better idea on how to go about recording and all the technical aspects of this new hype. I'd like to ask you a few questions, and I hope you don't mind answering to help me on my way. I have chosen your cast and others from the Pod Riot Network because you have some of the best production quality of any cast out there. It's clear and professional. So that tats off to you there, John, producer of the year.
Tats off. All right.
Yes, tats off.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time in reading this, and good luck on your exiting network. Maybe that's exciting.
Awesome. Well,
it's spelled exiting. Maybe he meant exciting. I don't know. P.S. I'm a studying artist and an independent listener and do not belong to any company. This information is for personal gain and not for reproduction of any kind. Unless, of course, we read your email on our podcast and then answer your question. So the first question he has, John, how did you get into podcasting? What was your motivation?
Oh.
And that was something you were explaining earlier. Go ahead and... please answer that question for Ads 12.
How we started was completely, we were practicing down here, actually. And this was a thought I had years ago when I was playing with Catheter of streaming our podcast. Streaming our practices.
Because we are a band.
We are a band. And I used to use, you know, with the old cassette tape, practice. Jesus Christ, two beers and I'm done. I used to record all of the practices and I'd play them back and we'd be sitting around listening to our stuff to hear where we were fucking up. And the banter in between the songs was so goddamn funny. I thought that one day maybe, you know, we could start streaming the shows. And then we tried recording one of our practices and listen back, and there was so much dead air and I'd have to chop it all up and
post-production.
And the first time I tried it, that we did it over at the studio, it took forever. So we thought it'd be really boring to sit there and to 2-3 hours of us streaming our practices and Rick tuning his guitar, putting a new string on, and we'd have to fill the dead air. So we did read some articles about this new technology called podcasting. So this was before the dawn of podcasting. And you sent me some emails. We sent them back and forth. And we thought, okay, let's try that with the band. And we did record one. Again, it was a post-production issue. So the first time we ever tried it, you had set up our website. We tried it. We did the whole history of the band and all that stuff on there. And our show was actually set up almost exactly like Punky's is. Before Punky even had their show as a podcast. We did our show. We threw in a bunch of songs. You did some intros in the beginning. You did all these crazy, wacky intros. A lot of post-production. Dropped in sounds in post. Put in some songs. At first, we were playing songs live, wasn't it?
No, I don't think we ever did
that. Yeah, we did. We'd like play a song and then run to the bathroom and grab a beer and then come back before the song was over.
Oh, right, right. Not us, you and me, playing a song.
No,
live.
Right.
Right.
But then we got concerned about the whole copyright
R-I-A-A.
Issue. Yeah. So now we just only play snippets of tunes, and they're all pod safe, and they're all royalty free. And we play stuff only at the beginning of the heavy metal episode, which I think we're going to start featuring unsigned bands just to get their name out there. Any rock band. It doesn't have to be a bad-mouthing punk band like Punky does. They do such a great job of their show, there's no way we'd want to step on that. But, yeah, that's basically the history of it. And the way we started, we already had the equipment because we are a band. So there was nothing to it there. We already recorded to a PC. And we started on the cheap. The Behringer mics that I use, or Scott has, B2 Pros. Professor Tom has them now. We use a Behringer tube composer, it's called. It's a compressor gate. It's got a real nice warm sound to it. And I use a really cheap-ass Alesis board. Why do I use it? Because it has some group out, so I can group certain channels to one certain channel, and I can mix those in separately to control calls like Skype and shit like that, which I've experimented with, and finally I think I've perfected. And we use Adobe Audition to record the show on a PC. But you could use Audacity, which is free. And just
free.
As good. It's free.
Well, look at there, John. You answered question number three without even me asking it.
Oh.
Which was, do you need to buy any special equipment to record or publish your cast?
You don't. You could do it all for free, pretty much.
You got to get a microphone.
Obviously, he's got a PC, I'm sure. Otherwise, he wouldn't be emailing you that. But Audacity, you could use that. You could get a cheap Behringer mixing board for like $50. You can get a microphone. Behringer sells some really good cardioid microphones for $30. You just need a little stand or something to and plug it into the board and get some adapters to plug that into the PC, and you're off and running. Get some sound effects. At first I was using Mixcast Live because I could run sound effects at the same time I was recording. I don't know if that guy runs support on that anymore. And we don't use it only as a sound effects generator.
Mm.
So.
Next question, John.
Next question.
Why did you decide on the I'm sorry. I think he should have said, how did you decide? But he asks, why did you decide on the content for your podcast? You know, all these questions don't end with question marks either, John. I'm nitpicking now.
Yeah. You're just like Pauly B. Jesus Christ.
Why did you decide on the content for your podcast?
Well, basically, it was just pretty much how we talk at practices.
Well, I think a little bit of it, it certainly evolved.
Yeah, that's true.
Because when we first started doing it, I had a section where I'd give stats.
Yeah.
Yeah, how goddamn boring is that?
What works? What doesn't?
So that fell out, and then other stuff came in, and we're always trying new stuff. Like, we tried Skype. And we're still open to Skype, but in a more more kind of a focused way.
Controlled, focused
way. We'll do some Skype. So as we're going, the show keeps evolving. And the W right now is a big part of the show. And
yeah.
When he's out of office, we're going to have to figure out something else to put in there. Unless they elect his brother Jeb or some other chimp gets in office.
Or he stays in forever because the war on terror will never end. It's like the war on drugs.
Next question. How easy was it to create your website for your content? I'll take this one, John. actually, it was quite easy. And now that MySpace is out there, I mean, it would be even easier. But I would go to MySpace first, and you could create whatever content you want. If you need to do your own website and get an ISP, there's websites that have website templates. That's all they do. So you browse website templates and you say, okay, I like that one. You have to have some basic understanding of HTML and JavaScript. If you don't, then find somebody who does and make them the co-host.
Well, yeah, the MySpace, you can only direct people to that to download from, but you need to learn a little bit about putting the tags on the stuff. And
right, the XML, yeah. The RSS feed. And there's a lot of stuff out there, but iTunes has very specific XML tags that you need.
But there's a lot of help. I mean, Scott helped, you helped Punky.
I helped Punky.
With their iTunes and stuff like that, so their iTunes feed.
Next question, is there paperwork or licensing needed to publish a cast from iTunes?
No.
And yes. Yes and no. No, if you're not going to play anybody else's copyrighted music or pod safe music, they call it.
Right.
Yes, if you're going to be playing the latest Britney Spears cut.
Yeah. Because then you got to pay royalties.
Next
there
question.
There are ways around that too. And there's a podcast called, shit. Now I can't think of it. What is it called, Scott?
I don't know. What does it do?
It's the guy who plays everybody else's song, but it's played by somebody else.
Oh, right, right.
Coverville. Coverville has a genius way. He plays all kinds of tunes, but they're played by other bands. So he only has to pay the performance copyright royalty. Which is like
not the authoring.
Yeah, which is one set amount per year. And I think that's with ASCAP and BMI and one other one.
So to clarify, if you can get somebody else to play the song rather than the person who originally recorded it, it's going to cost you less.
Right.
Right. Last question, John. I like casts with more than one person. Would you recommend working with more than one?
Absolutely.
I would say I would recommend that because I can't imagine doing this by myself, but maybe this person, adds 12 is, somebody you can just yap on and on and on. You know what
I mean?
That's
true. Yeah, sure.
Like, for instance, you listen to Penn Radio, right? And he's got that guy, I don't even know his, I listened to him for months. I don't even know his co-host name.
Michael Goudeau.
All Michael Goudeau adds is, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That's it. He just cackles. So even Penn, who just probably can handle guy. It all by himself because the guy can just yammer yeah. on, has a co-host. So I would recommend one because I can't imagine doing it without John, my co-host John. There you have it. So he says, thank you for the time and effort. I hope to hear from you soon. And there you did. You just heard from us. Peace to you and the others. And then he leaves his name.
Right on, brother.
Right on, brother. And then I got this other email. This is from Bondage Kitty. We're familiar with Bondage Kitty.
Yeah.
And I guess at some point we talked about if they did make a movie about TTN, who would, like, I think Clive Owen would play me. I can't remember who.
You're so dumb.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Who was going to play you? I can't remember.
I don't know.
They were all dead. Who you mentioned?
Newman.
Dead. Oh, he's still alive. All right, so she says, who would play you guys in a movie? Okay, guys, here is who should play you in a movie. LOL. And we all know what that means, John.
Love Scott. All of you.
Get this. Scott. Pierce Brosnan. Nice. John. Michael Chiklis. Phil McCracken, Phil Donahue.
Laurel and Hardy?
Phil McCracken would be portrayed by Phil Donahue. Phil McCracken would be portrayed by Phil Donahue. I always thought Chet Kopic for Phil.
Chet Kopic.
And she ends with her tagline, hugs and well-placed licks. The kitten.
That's out of sight.
And that'll get us right into movies, John.
Nice.
You saw some movies? Yeah. I saw some movies. You saw two movies? I saw three.
You did?
Yes, let me start. So we'll go me, you, me, you, me, you, me. The first movie I saw was Narnia. Have you seen Narnia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Jesus freak movie?
What do you mean Jesus freak?
It's all biblical, man.
What do you mean it's biblical?
It is.
Because the lion resurrects?
Because the lion resurrects and they talk about the kids being the children of Adam and Eve.
Oh, right. Yeah. But biblical? Come on. So what are you saying? It's promoting Christianity?
Yeah, it's totally.
I didn't get that at all. At all, John.
The lion is Jesus.
Well, then who is the witch? Satan?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, so I couldn't pull
Dude,
up my
man,
shit on it.
The witch
You're
was
naughty.
No Satan, okay?
You're naughty.
And it had a relationship with the fantasy that is Christianity.
Come on, Santa Claus was in it, dude.
Right. Oh, you know, the wife said...
Why not the Easter Bunny?
The whole Santa Claus scene happened, and then she goes, who was that? I said, that was Santa Claus!
It was the biggest elf ever.
And she didn't believe me.
What?
Yeah. I said,
why?
Because
Santa Claus
it?
Gave people knives and swords and slingshots and bow whatever things?
She said it was the... she said she thought it was the guy who owned the mansion. The recluse or whatever. I said, no. That was Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
So, yeah, I thought they did a good job. I didn't read the original by C.S. Lewis. Have you, John?
No.
But I thought it was okay.
No, it was okay. That lion was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, the effects were pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt, John.
Fucking sight, man.
No doubt. All right, John, what did you see?
Oh, that's it?
Well, I thought we'd like volley like you do in a tennis match.
I saw Aeon Flux.
That's sci-fi.
Yeah, it's based on the avant-garde American science fiction animated television series that aired on MTV back in the 1990s, early 90s, 91, I believe it was.
Never saw it.
On MTV's Liquid Television. Well, I bought the entire series, so if you want to take it home and check it out, I've watched almost every one of them already. Again, and it's pretty cool. I still think the pilot is the best. The pilot is still the best. But Aeon Flux, it's spelled A-E-O-N, but I guess it's a legitator. You know where the A and the E is together to make one letter?
Right.
Yeah, what's that called? Ligator?
I don't know.
Ligator?
We'll have to ask the great Pauly B.
Well, in writing and typography, a ligator occurs where two or more letter forms are written or printed as a unit. Like John and Scott, we're a unit.
Right.
But anyways.
Lower.
The movie with Charlize Theron is based loosely on this animated TV series, but the animated TV series was really funky because like she'd die a lot and then she'd be resurrected. So it kind of
like
plays,
Jesus.
Yeah, it kind of plays off of that. But Aeon Flux, the sci-fi actioner is set 400 years in the future when disease has wiped out the majority of the Earth's population, except for one walled protected city state called Bregna. Ruled by a Congress of Scientists, the story centers on Aeon Flux, who is played by Theron, the top operative in the underground Monacan Rebellion, led by the handler Francis McDormand. When Aeon is sent on a mission to kill a government leader, she uncovers a world of secrets. And she ends up, you know, she's going to knock off the main dude. And I think the main dude...
She hot?
Yeah, she looks pretty hot in it. Not as hot as I thought she was going to look, because in the series, you know, Aeon Flux has got this thong going on, and she's wearing, like, all vinyl shit. Or maybe it's leather. It's like a bikini and a thong and some boots, and she's real badass. She's got unbelievable skills and command over her mind and her body. And what are you drinking that shitty ass old style now?
I'm gonna try it
from the Cubs 2003 commemorative Cubs, old style can.
What a year, John. 2003 and old
That's
style
dangerous.
Fresh old style tastes like shit. So I'm wondering what 2003 old style. I guess they'll never be a sponsor, John. Maybe it's better when it's 4 years old.
Well, anyways, the movie differs a lot from the actual animation. How is it?
It's like water.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
it
carbonated
is.
Water.
It is. It's not that good. But it differs in the fact that Trevor Goodchild, who in the actual animation, he actually seizes Bregna by overruling the commander or something
what?
Like that. Yeah.
What are you telling me?
Bregna.
Who's Bregna?
Bregna is the city state that where this all takes place. Because in the movie, there's a virus that wipes everybody out. And what's happening is throughout the movie, this person, Trevor Goodchild, and the Goodchild family actually is a bunch of scientists, and the brother's a scientist, and he has a bunch of other scientists, and they're trying to supposedly come up with a cure so everybody can go back outside. But there's some other things going on. You want me to ruin it?
I don't care.
Oh.
I'm not going to see
it. It's on DVD anyway. So you're not going to see it, man?
No.
Oh, what the fuck?
Why would I see that?
You fucking Narnia?
Yeah.
You freak.
I'll see Narnia.
I see Narnia. Dick.
Right. If Spike tells me to see it, I'll see it.
But anyways, she ends up banging this Trevor Goodchild guy who supposedly is after the Monikans, because the Monikans are this rebel force
that give blowjobs in the
well,
Oral
no,
Office.
They want to knock out this this totalitarian regime that they think it is, but she realizes it's not, and she starts having some memories with this dude, and they realize later that they were married to each other. And now what happened was what he's creating is clones, and he's cloned himself, and he's cloned his brother, and he's cloned the staff, because he's trying to find a way so that people can give birth naturally and die naturally, and so the cycle of life can continue. But instead he keeps cloning the same people over and over again for 400 years. And she finds out about it, and she realizes, oh, this isn't too bad. Maybe we should just let us all die, and, you know, shit happens. And she finds out that they ended up killing her sister, who was one of the group of a certain bunch of clones that actually was able to develop reproductive properties. And the one brother...
Like a womb?
Yeah. The one brother turns out that he doesn't like that shit. He wants the cloning to continue because he wants everlasting life, and he likes it the way it is, where their totalitarianism, you know, and all that shit. And there's this big battle at the end, and it's okay. I'd give it 2 Spiny Normans.
2?
Yeah, only 2. Because wow. I was a pretty big fan of the original animation.
It's pretty long-winded for a 2-star, yeah. 2 Spiny Norman review.
Yeah, it kept my interest. Well, is that out of 5 or 4?
I don't know. We keep switching.
Well, it's good, but then there's like these long fucking, I'm thinking there's going to be more action and stuff. And there is quite a bit, but... it's got these long periods in between them, and Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
Definitely does a good job, and so does this other character, but everybody else is really fucking transparent.
All right, then. My next movie, John, and I believe you've seen this one, it's called The History of Violence.
Yeah.
And I thought this movie sucked.
Really?
The big one. The big, heavy, high, hard one. John, I'm watching it. The wife and I are watching it. And again, we're watching it at the in-laws' house. Okay, so that added to my perception, and I'll tell you how in a little bit. But so the first 20 minutes go by, and we're like, Jesus Christ, this is the slowest goddamn movie ever. And then finally, I'm just about to turn it off and pop in the island.
Yeah.
And the two guys show up at the diner, and he smacks him with the coffee pot and then shoots him. Okay, so then I'll watch a little longer. And so I ended up watching the whole thing. The wife bailed after like 40 minutes, but I watched the whole thing. And the reason I say the in-laws had an effect is because there were some really good sex scenes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
With the muff diving and all.
Ah, yeah.
But then there's this lingering fear that my father-in-law is going to walk in during the muff diving scene.
So what? He's 7?
Yeah, he's like 7. No, he's very... he's just very straight-laced. You know what I'm saying, John?
Strict, proper.
The one time I did watch a movie, Lord of War, which is about arms dealing, and it's like a 2-hour movie. The one 10-second scene where Nicolas Cage is boning his wife...
He walks in.
That's when my father-in-law decides to walk in.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, my son-in-law is like addicted to porn. So I got that hanging over me when I watch movies at the in-laws. And there's two.
Because she pops in a fucking cheerleader outfit, dude.
Right.
How could you not like that movie?
Oh, that was hot. But then I had the father-in-law thing hanging over me, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But so the sex scenes were hot. The scenes of violence were good, but the story in between was so goddamn slow.
Yeah, and that's what I said too. I thought was kind of slow in between.
The
everything.
Thing that ruined
summed it up
was the thing. You know, I was on the fence, and then when he meets his brother,
yeah,
not meets him. I mean, they know each other. But when he hooks back up with his brother, who's played by William Hurt,
yeah.
It was fucking comical, John.
Yeah.
It was like it turned into a comedy then. What was William Hurt thinking? That he was going to be Tony Soprano or
right,
something?
He sucked at
it. It was awful. It was the worst ever. Did he get a Razzie for it? It was horrible.
I said that, didn't I?
Did you say that?
He was a terrible bad guy.
Oh, it was horrible.
Horrible.
So, yeah, you can pass on that, History of Violence.
No, I think it's still a must-see.
No, it's not a must-see.
The violence is good, and when the kid goes apeshit on the other kid in the school, man, it just fucks him up. It's great.
Yeah, but, yeah, whatever.
And then when he fucking rams that guy's nose into his skull.
Oh, that was good,
that was
awesome.
And
he broke his arm.
And the wife's like, what the fuck?
Right.
And then later, she's standing there in her muff. With her muff showing and her sagging tits.
Oh, yeah. That's hot.
but she's not hot because she's so pissed and disgusted with him.
But he practically raped her on the stairs.
Well, that's different. She wanted it.
All right. So I give that one 2 Spidey Dormans, John.
All right.
2.
Well, I saw a movie in the theater with the lovely wife. We went to see Inside Man. Yeah, that's with Denzel Washington, Clive Owen, and Jodie Foster, directed by Spike Lee. You know the movie?
I've heard of it, yes.
It's a story of Detective Keith Frazier, played by Denzel Washington, who matches wits with a clever bank robber, Dalton Russell, played by Clive Owen, in a tense hostage drama. As the dangerous cat-and-mouse game unfolds, a wild card emerges, a power broker, Madeline White, Jodie Foster, with a hidden agenda, injects more instability into an already volatile situation. The film touches on contemporary issues such as the treatment of Arabs after 9/11 and also contains dollops of New York humor and pride. And the movie is It's another one of those things where it's long in between stuff, but it's a really interesting movie in the and it's pretty goddamn funny. So I gave it a 3 because Denzel Washington is kind of this guy, this cop who gets the gig to check out this bank robbery, and the movie opens up with Clive Owen doing like what do you call that? Foreshadowing. He does like this little rant in the beginning, and you know, pay attention to exactly what I say. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, and blah blah blah. And at the end of the movie, he says it again. He kind of sums it all up. And Inside Man is also a play on words. So when you see it, then you'll understand what the Inside Man is all about.
Whoa!
But yeah, Jodie Foster is this hard ass that. Power broker, as they say, she hooks up with every type of scumbag in the world. Like, you know, gets a co-op for the Bin Ladens and shit like that. She works favors through different parts of the city and politicians, and you know, she blackmails them and she greases palms and she does all this stuff. So they bring her into the mix because the guy who owns the bank has a safe deposit box in there that he doesn't want anybody to touch because it has some information about him that when he was in Nazi Germany, he made a bunch of money off of all these poor bastards during the Holocaust that got all fried and stuff. He made all his millions off of that, and he left some shit behind that marks him as this Nazi sympathizer. And that's how he made his money in the banking industry. And he doesn't want anybody to get their hands on it. So he makes sure that this chick, Jodie Foster, hooks up with Denzel, who already has like some bullshit over his head about $140,000 that disappeared on a drug bust that they're trying to nail him with. And they want to offer him a bribe to make him to a promotion to first detective and all this stuff. And they bring that up, that if you don't do this, maybe we'll publicize this thing about the 140 grand. But he's way too clever, and he figures out the whole thing. It's really kind of a really good, like, cat-and-mouse game. And what's great about it is the burglars, the robbers, they don't really whack anyone. You know, they're always threatening to put a bullet hole in somebody's head. And there is a tense scene where that happens, but it plays out in favor of both the robbers and the cops. You know, it was all staged and shit. But it's a really good, pretty good flick. I give it 3.
3 Spiny Normans. I'll have to check that out. It's on DVD, you say?
Yeah. No, it's in the theaters.
Oh, it's in the theaters. Well, the last movie that I've seen, John, and this is a Disney movie. Do you watch the do you watch the Disney Channel?
No.
It's a made-for-Disney TV Disney movie called High School Musical.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Have you seen
that? Should I get my daughter to come down here and give a review?
I think so. I think we can talk.
If I hear that fucking CD... One More Night. It's probably playing right now upstairs in their room. That's what they go to sleep listening to.
Well, I saw it, and it's just the story of a boy and a girl. who, the boy is like a really good basketball player. The girl's really smart in scholastic meets and things like that. And they both have this talent for singing. And they get involved with each other in a kind of a boyfriend girlfriend way, but not really, you know, 'cause it's Disney, and they like singing together.
Yeah.
And so they try out for the High School Musical, but they really don't, but they do. And then they get the call back, and then there's some villains in it that try to make sure that they don't show up to the call back so that they can't get the lead parts in the musical. So then he's got the state basketball championship and she's got the state scholastic thing. And then the bad person makes sure that their callback is at the same time. And then they have to figure out how to work around this and get their callback and do their audition. Oh, and then there's the boy meets girl, boy loses girl because of the friends. And then boy gets girl back again. That's, you know, part of the story too, right, John? But I got to tell you, John, what happens is, he's in the basketball game and he gets some computer geeks to wire it so that the power goes out in the auditorium or the gymnasium. So they, as part of protocol, they have to evacuate. So everybody evacuates and he gets to run and do his audition. Now she's at a science meet and she concocts some chemical reaction that puts out some noxious gas. So they have to evacuate the chemical meet so that she can go to the audition. So where do all these people show up? They show up in the auditorium to watch the young man and the young woman sing and do their callback. You know, so I'm not tearing up at all here, John. I think, okay, this is good. You know, it's a good movie. My daughter enjoys it. It's fun. It's not like the one movie we talked about, Shaggy Dog, where they had two references to anal fucking. There's nothing like that in it. A good, wholesome movie. So I'm watching this movie. It's almost over. And then the parents of the kids walk in.
Yeah.
And I start blubbering like nobody's business, John. And I don't know what it is. It must be the experience of it must be the experience of having children myself. And do I put myself in the position of the parent that walks in? And I'm thinking, what if my son or daughter ever perform? What am I going to be like? Am I going to be just a big blubbering mess because I don't even, it's fictional. I don't even know these people. It's fictional and I'm blubbering.
Yeah, I shouldn't laugh. My first recital my daughter was in at 3 years old. I couldn't even hold the camera up. I'm like, and the wife's going, are you crying? Are you crying?
Did you record it?
No, we couldn't do
video. Did you have to stop it?
They wouldn't let us do video in there.
Oh, they wouldn't let
you
do video.
So I had to shoot, I had my Canon EOS with 300 zoom, you know, with the zoom lens, and I had the 800 speed film. So I was taking some decent pics, man. But I pull it up, and I'd be like... Yeah.
Well, you know, I wasn't, you know, totally blubbering because my daughter was sitting right next to me. So I had to mask it, you know.
You're like yeah.
Oh, I got to blow my nose. Boy, my eyes are watered, is it? I must be allergic to something.
You do a fake yawn or something. Yeah.
So if you get a chance to see High School Musical, John.
Oh, it's been on a million times.
Check that out.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Well, that's all the time we have for this part.
Part two. Because that's good, John, because I got to take a piss.
All right, well,
my
back
teeth are floating.
We'll be right back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last quick way.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.